Okay, thank you, everybody, and welcome to our first investor conference call. We'd be very happy to get started. In quick summary, 2017, we're quite happy with the year. We had very strong growth, we had very strong development, and we're very happy with the direction that the business is going in. I think you probably all have the investor presentation, the 2017 presentation in front of you. So I'm going to follow through that a little bit. It's going to give some high-level information, a little bit of background about the company, and then we'll get into the preliminary 2017 results. So if you like to follow along, I'm going to skip ahead to slide five. Is the just a recap of the IPO from February 15th. We put some of the news and media clips there. It was very well received, both regionally and internationally. You can see both the international press and even the results of Google searches on the company. It's actually had quite a positive impact with customers, partners, suppliers, and it was an, I think we can say it was an all-around success, especially considering the background of a somewhat turbulent market during that time. If you go to page six, this gives a quick snapshot of the overall results from 2017. We had very strong revenue growth. Sales were up 38% year-over-year to RON 147 million, with especially strong growth in the fourth quarter. Romania still remains our largest growth driver, and in 2017 and in prospect, growing at an accelerating rate up to 69% year-over-year. We also continued our premiumization, which helps the revenue per liter and the margins. Our premium brand, Porcar, was growing the fastest growth at 65% year-over-year. Gross margins were down 6.1% from prior year, down to 43.8%. The primary driver of this was a 7.7% Moldovan lei appreciation versus the Romanian lei. The vast majority of our production and production costs are in Moldova, so when there is a currency fluctuation, it does affect our costs. We were quite solid in controlling our SG&A in order to offset that and maintain margins. SG&A was up 14%, but keep in mind that that includes all of the one-time IPO expenses, most of which came in the fourth quarter as well. So in fact, on an adjusted basis, the SG&A was very well controlled, and we're pretty happy with that. Our adjusted EBITDA was up 26% to RON 47 million. Net income was up 37 points to RON 32 million. We like to look at some of our operational successes as well. We had some new innovation. Sparkling wine was quite a strong launch in Moldova. Sales and demand were well above expectations. We also got strong traction for the mid-market and middle-plus market in Romania, where we relaunched or started increasing our emphasis on our Astrum brand in Crama Ceptura, which is the middle segment. It's by far the largest segment of the market in value. And we coupled that with a major marketing campaign that's having, while it was only in market in the fourth quarter, it's already having very noticeable positive impacts to sales. So we're quite happy with the results there in that short time and quite positive on the outlooks. We do also emphasize our ongoing investments. This is a growing business and growing extremely fast. So we do continue to make investments, particularly in technology that's going to help us ensure our long-term sustainability and scalability. We focus a lot on quality control as we grow. Growing at this pace is not easy, especially for wineries. And I believe we've shown a very good track record over the past 2 to 3 years. We focus on winemaking technology, some of the most modern winemaking techniques and technology we employ in our main wineries. We've also started increasing our emphasis and focus on business systems and IT. These help us with efficiency, maintaining the quality control on our production and even into our agriculture. I know many of you were probably on the roadshow. We did a very nice demonstration of a satellite technology that we use to monitor our agriculture, and we're also quite happy with that. So as we grow, we do put a substantial emphasis of our investment on maintaining quality and ensuring that we are able to maintain our growth. As you see there, our outlook is very positive. We have had very strong growth in top line and revenue and EBITDA in the past years, and we do expect that to continue. As we move on into the presentation, a lot of this will be a recap for many of you that were in the roadshow, and also a lot of it was in the prospectus. For some that are new to the presentations, I'm going to go through it quickly. I'm only going to give a moment or two to each slide, but I do encourage everybody to, if you haven't seen this, to take some time, read through it. If you do have questions, you can send follow-up questions, but I'm sure we'd like to just give you a picture of the business background and then get to the financial results from 2017. So on page eight, this is the first of two slides. It's a Purcari Wineries at a glance, and it's more of a snapshot of our business. It gives an idea that we do place an emphasis on quality winemaking, and the competitive nature of our business, especially versus far more expensive wines from Western Europe. We also show our expanding regional successes. This is already a regional winery, and we're showing very strong growth and expansion and have pretty optimistic and aggressive plans going forward as well. The second slide is more of a history. I encourage you to look through some of the activities we've had over the years that have gotten us to where we are today. Moving on to slide 10, this is a statement of our mission, vision, and values. We place an emphasis on this. It is for us quite important to show that we believe in developing our team and our culture as a critical part of the business. It's not just a production and it's not just sales, but it is an entire culture that permeates the company. And we do believe that this is one of our strengths, and it's something that's been developed over many, many years. Slide 11, it's a snapshot from the prospectus and the roadshow of our business model. The main emphasis of this is the concept of affordable luxury, and it emphasizes Purcari's ability to offer a premium product at affordable prices due to our very competitive cost basis. This is very important in our target markets of Central and Eastern Europe. It gives us a strong competitive advantage against far more expensive wines from Western Europe and even from the region. So this is actually a pretty important concept that we do focus on. The next slide, page 12. This is a snapshot of our growth strategy, how we plan to continue our growth and expand into the regions. It's pretty detailed. I do encourage you to read it when you have some time. If you have follow-on questions, feel free to send it to the investor relations and we'll get back to you with them. But it is essentially that we do build a direct sales force. We do extend into new brands that have higher margins and help grow the top line. We do continue to focus on shifting to premium brands. This is higher value, higher margin products. And we do look towards acquisitions to help accelerate our expansion. The main takeaway is that the market we're targeting, Central and Eastern Europe, the retail segment is 3.6 billion euro, and we've only scratched the surface of this. So we like to say that we're already running at a full pace, and there's a lot of running room in front of us. All right, Moving on, I'll go into a little bit of the detailed operational performance. Slide 14, it shows some of our revenue, EBITDA, and net income. Continued growth. Revenues have grown on an annualized basis 35%. 2017, it actually went up to 38%, a lot of that coming in the fourth quarter. As we said, it was quite a good quarter. EBITDA from 2014, we've actually had a 72% CAGR, up 26% last year. That's on an adjusted basis when we adjust for the one-off cost of the IPO. And net income continued to grow quite well, 37%. We can look at it on a market-by-market breakdown on slide 15, and as you see, we pointed Romania was by far our shining star, 69% growth. Moldova, which is our home base, where we actually have a very significant market share, was also strong growth. And as you go down, you see Poland, Asia. Asia is primarily made up of China. We told you the 9 month did not reflect the seasonal sales that come before the Chinese New Year. Fourth quarter was exceptional, and you can see that there as well. And on down into some of the smaller markets. And the next slide, slide 16, you also see the growth by brands. Porcar, as we said, it's our premium. It's our premium brand. Our premium segment grew at 65%. Bostavan is our mass market. It grew at 10%. We're focusing on bringing this up to mid-market, especially with the door sub-brand in Bostavan. Kramacheptura is our winery in Romania, grew at 56%. And Bardar, our brandy, grew at 20%. The next slide, starting with slide 17, starts to get into some of the financial results. I'm going to hand over to our CFO, Victor Arapan. He's going to take it from there.
Hello, everybody. On page 17, you can see, on page 17, you can see our main financials. So, as John told before, the great increase in revenue, cost under control, and EBITDA margin is the one that we anticipated to receive after correcting, adjusting it to IPO expenses. So, of course, there are some items that have impacted our performance, and especially we speak about depreciation of reporting currency against of RON as reporting currency against Moldovan leu, which is the currency of three of the subsidiaries in Moldova, and Moldovan leu appreciated with 7.7% on an annual base against RON, and mainly in Q4 with 7.8%, and this affected had the most strong effect, negative effect on the quarterly result. So you can see increase in cost of sales, and this is mainly because 83% of our production is in Moldova, Moldovan brands, and taking into consideration 7.7% of appreciation of Moldovan leu, this gives actually in absolute value 5 million RON a negative effect in cost of production, cost of sales. I want to point on general administrative expenses, which you can see has grown with 20%, but if, as John mentioned, you, after deducting 1.2 million RON of one-off expenses related to IPO, actually the increase in general administrative expenses is only 9% against 2016. Moving on next slide. Yeah, I just this is details of G&A expense. and you can see what I actually told you about one-off transactions related to IPO, mostly relating to professional fees, traveling, and communication. You can see an increase in employee benefits by 24%, and here is again effect of those 7.7% appreciation of Moldovan leu against Romanian leu, and of course 20% less that increase is a 15% increase, a natural increase in employee benefits, and it relates to mostly to standard increase in sales every year we do, so nothing else unusual. Okay, going forward. Okay, next page 19, EBITDA against net debt. So we continue to deleverage. Even you can, you maybe already saw in our balance sheet, we increased the loans from banks. On the other hand, we kept a large amount of cash in our account. So net debt is, as effect, only drops to 1.1 level of EBITDA at the year end. Okay, John, I pass to you.
I think the next slides are more summary. You see slides 20 and 21. It's just a repeat of some of the business overviews that we did. And then we get to the detailed P&L and balance sheet statements. And then our 2018 outlook. I think the most productive at this point, because I'm sure everybody's had a chance to go through, as we pointed out, the main takeaways are we had a very strong growth, top line growth, especially in the fourth quarter. We did have some impacts from Forex, but we believe that we've mitigated them quite successfully. And in fact, we're pretty positive on the results, P&L results for this year. Our outlook is that we do believe this is going to continue. You know, we give some guidance, revenue growth range, 24% to 28%, EBITDA margin 33% to 36%, and net income margin continuing 23% to 26%. Again, that's guidance. The guidance obviously will, we'll be able to update that as the year goes on, but that's our outlook in the 2017. I think the most efficient at this point would be to open it up if anybody has questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on a touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. Again, to ask a question, please press star, then one. And the first question comes from the line of Georgina Androne of Tradeville. Please go ahead.
Hello, I have a question regarding the dividends. I remember your prospectus saying that you intend to pay about 50% of your annual profits in dividends, but only once you've covered your losses from the previous years. And you also mentioned that you are in the process of getting legal advice on that matter. So I would ask for an update. And also, do you intend to have that sorted in time to pay dividends for this year? Thank you.
Okay, I'm Victor CFO, Victor Arpan CFO. Yes, we intend to initiate the procedure that will allow the company to pay dividends. For this, we will need when we have final audited standalone financials that will be submitted to the registrar of companies in Cyprus. The company will apply to the court to ask for a decision to cover all accumulated losses against premium reserves or capital reserves. After we do this, and this is a procedure of which is about 2 or 3 months, we will be able to pay dividends. But the dividends will be paid in 2019 for the profit of 2018 at the Cyprus level. The subsidiaries will declare dividends this year in 2018, which will be a base for income recognition in at the Cyprus level.
So just to be clear, does this mean that you do intend to pay dividends this year for investors on the Bucharest Stock Exchange, for instance?
No. For clarification, so the plan has been we plan to establish the dividend policy in 2018, and we plan to declare dividends at the end of 2018 based on 2018 profits. Those dividends will be paid in 2019.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Krizo Vodrunčić of Intercapital Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. I would like to ask, do you hedge the exchange rate? And if not, why?
So there are different ways to hedge the exchange rate. The most effective and cost-effective are operationally. We divide our long-term loans more or less to line up with the revenues that we gain. So we have our long-term loans are actually some in Moldovan lei, some in RON, and some in euro.
Most of them in euro.
Most of it in euro. And that actually does shield us from exchange rate changes and foreign exchange adjustments on the balance sheet. But in terms of hedging revenue or costs, futures, no, that's not real. There's no real cost-effective way of doing that. So the best hedging is operational hedging and just using efficient financial structuring of our debts to make sure that we're not as exposed.
Thank you for your answer.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Maxian of RCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Hello. Two questions. First, can you just say on your guidance, what are the exchange rate assumptions on your guidance? And second, can you give us an update about your expansion plans now in Poland? You flagged that you were looking at the target to have a stronger distribution there. Just if you can give us an update. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so on the exchange rate, on our guidance with reference to the exchange rate, it's based on the exchange rate not moving in either direction. So if the Moldovan lei depreciates, obviously our guidance would improve. If it appreciates further, we would have to take some actions as we did in 2017 to mitigate that. What he can say is in the first quarter of 2018, the exchange rate is more or less flat. It has not moved significantly since the beginning of the year, so that shouldn't have an impact on the guidance so far. With regards to Poland is an increasing priority for us. As we emphasized on the roadshow, we emphasize efficiency. We like to choose our battles and place our emphasis in on a few priorities. Up until recently, Moldova and then Romania were our priorities, and I think we're seeing very, very good success from that. We are starting to shift attention, starting last year and increasing this year on Poland. So we do expect to have some progress on Poland this year. It is let's say one of our next top priorities.
All right, thank you.
And we have one more question. The next question comes from the line of Sergei Shkolnikov of Piera Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congratulations on the successful IPO, and thank you very much for your presentation. My first question actually related more or less to the previous question. We've seen a bit of a decline in growth in Poland, but in some other Central European countries as well, like Czech Republic, Baltics as well. So question would be, why did this happen? I mean, I guess it probably related to the fact that currency moved unfavorably. So what happened there, and what do you expect in this market to happen with regards to growth in coming years? Plus, obviously, you mentioned this article on Bloomberg about expanding into China. Maybe would be good if you could talk a bit more about what your plans are and how we should understand this expansion and how significant it's going to be with regards to your top line in sort of near to mid-term future. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's say Poland and Asia are two of our next top priorities. This year, Romania is still our growth driver, and we're very happy with the start to the year, and we're very positive on the growth that we will be able to generate. Poland and China are investments in the say near term, medium term, and long term. They're both very large markets, obviously, and have a large potential. The point on Poland, we have started to shift our attention towards premiumization. So if you go back to the presentation, what are our growth drivers is premiumization, expanding our brands, establishing our own sales force, and working through M&A. And we are starting to apply all four of those in Poland. And that's the direction we're going to move. It is our proven strategy. We've done it very well in Romania, and we're going to continue that business approach. The shift towards premium in Poland, we do start to see some impact. Purcar has started to take some hold, and we expect to see it starting to generate some good growth for us in the future. We've also seen in last year in terms of China, as obviously everybody understands, China is one of the biggest markets, if not the biggest. And we had in Asia 56% growth. That's almost all China. We are starting to put more emphasis. We're doing very well in China. It's also quite good margins, quite high price per liter. Compared to other markets, we are starting to establish our own team there. We now have our own, we have two primarily focused on sales. We're establishing warehousing facilities so we can increase the speed of our delivery. And essentially, we're poised to take advantage of an anticipated growth in demand and to start expanding our presence throughout the market. So China is actually off to quite a good start.
Right. So we can expect similarly high growth in the coming years from China as well.
We don't see anything to suggest that China is going to slow down. In fact, their wine consumption per capita is extremely small. It's only upside, and obviously, a very small per capita consumption in China is still a huge demand and a huge market. So there is a lot of room for growth there. There's room for both expansion into additional cities, geographical expansion to cover more of the population, as well as the anticipated growth in consumption that is almost certain to follow the trends elsewhere in the world. In terms of it's mostly just a matter of efficiency. We obviously are a business. We want a return on our investments, so we're investing in a way that's going to give us positive benefits, profits, good margins, but efficient growth. And yeah, we do expect to see continued growth in Asia.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. John Maksymchuk for closing comments.
Okay, so thank everybody for joining us and for joining us not just on this call, but joining us on the team of Purcari. We're very pleased to have everybody here with us, and we look forward to future calls and future discussions with all of you. Thank you for your time, and if you have any further or follow-on questions, you can go to our website. We have our investor relations contacts there. You can send your questions and follow-ups, and we will get back to you. Thank you very much.